Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. This is the reading of God's Word. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it. I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant all of us an ear to hear your word, that we may truly hear your word, and as you promised us, that our faith will grow, and that we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us will not only hear your word, but also believe and obey. We pray that you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, our Lord in the book of Luke is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And through his works and his teachings, he witnesses the reality of his kingdom. And in our passage, he continues to witness the true picture of the citizens of heaven and how they would live their lives here on earth. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. He says, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and he wishes, he desires that it were already kindled. Now first, what does he mean when he says fire? Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not too fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We know from the Bible that the Holy Spirit will be sent after all the redemptive works are accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and he ascends into heaven. In our verse, then, Jesus reveals his desire for that to happen quickly, that he will finish what he came to do and he ascends to heaven so that he could send the Holy Spirit. Only after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that he is accomplishing for his people will be perfectly applied to everyone that he has chosen. Apply to his church. Only then the sinners will be truly saved and truly called the righteous in God's sight, and the Holy Spirit will reside in them and work in them to make them more and more like Jesus Christ. This fire will come to his people and he will work. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. See, the coming of the Holy Spirit is truly a good thing for those who are in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says that he will, John chapter 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John chapter 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And John chapter 16, verse 13a, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Bible is clear, when Holy Spirit comes, he will remind us what Jesus has said. So he will remind us of what the Word of God, and also he will lead us to the truth, which is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will testify about Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit will do, through his word, testify about Christ. And you know whether Holy Spirit is in this church if you, through his word, Jesus, if you see through his word, Jesus is testified. Now, you know, some people out there, they will say, when Holy Spirit comes, all kinds of crazy things happen. Bible doesn't say that. But Bible says that Holy Spirit worked with his word to witness Jesus Christ. And, you know, John 14, it says the Father will send the Holy Spirit. But John 15, Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit. So we believe both Jesus and the Father send Holy Spirit. But when you study church history, the Eastern Church and the Western Church divided because of this point. One church believed only Jesus Christ. I mean, only the Father. And the other says, no, it's the Father and the Holy Spirit. They fought. And the whole church was divided into two. And there are some sad stories in church history. But God's will is always being done. And his church will continue until that last day when Jesus returns. So, what is Jesus saying? Jesus wishes that that would happen soon, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But in order for that to happen, something else must happen before. And we have to remember, coming of the Holy Spirit is not a good thing for the non-believers. Because coming of the Holy Spirit for them is only the judgment of God. And that will happen when Jesus returns. He will come with the Holy Spirit. That's judgment for the non-believers. But for us, he already came. But here, Jesus tells us that something that must happen to him prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that's verse 50. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. First, our Lord Jesus Christ must undergo a baptism. And this baptism, obviously, is not referring to the water baptism, because that baptism Jesus has already received in Luke chapter 3. So Jesus is actually speaking of the baptism that he must undergo in the future. And he says the same thing this way in Mark chapter 10, verse 38. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Here he speaks of the cup and the baptism, but both refers to the same thing. The cup, just like the baptism, it is a good thing for those who are in Christ. Psalm 16 verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot." But for the non-believers, cup refers to the judgment of God. Psalm 75 verse 8, "For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down his dregs." So, just like baptism, this cup is a good thing for believers, but judgment for the non-believers, and the baptism the same way. The baptism that Jesus must undergo, it refers to the judgment of God that Jesus will receive in places of his people. It refers to his death on the cross. So only after his death on the cross, the coming of the Holy Spirit will happen. And for those who are in Christ, again, the coming of the Holy Spirit is God's blessing. But even when we say that it is God's blessing, it is not blessing according to this world. It is not the worldly blessings we're speaking of. Then what are we talking about? Luke chapter 24, verse 47, "And that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The Holy Spirit comes and blesses us, that he will recreate us, so that we may realize, we may know and believe the truth, so we may repent of our sins. And we see that happen in Acts chapter 2. The works of the Holy Spirit. He unites us to Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus' life becomes our life. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we participate in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Holy Spirit and his work unite us to Jesus Christ and make us participate in his life and make us more and more like him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus asks a question. "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" But in Mark chapter 10, verse 39b, Jesus says, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized." Yes, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we more and more participate in his sufferings. Romans chapter 8, verse 17b, "If we indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, "But to the degree that we share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." Now, in verses 50 1 through 53, he tells us about our participation in his suffering. Let me read to you verse 51 through 53. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Matthew says it this way. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 36. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The will of God is completely accomplished as Jesus accomplishes it and the Holy Spirit comes and applies all that Jesus has accomplished to His people. And one of those things that He accomplishes is He's accomplishing what He has promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Enmity between God's people and Satan's people. He promised that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And in our passage, Jesus comes and completely fulfills it. There's enmity between the people of God and people of Satan. Even if they are in one family in this world. Enmity between these two groups. You know, this enmity, this division was typologically witnessed in the Old Testament through many worldly divisions. But now, when all is accomplished by Jesus Christ, the only division now is Jesus Christ Himself. We are not divided because we're Jews or we are Gentiles. We are not divided in any other way anymore. That was Old Testament. Now, after everything is accomplished by Jesus Christ, only division is Jesus Christ. Whether you are in Him or you are not. Whether you believe in Him or you don't. And this division was promised by God even in Genesis. Jesus is saying that He came to grant division, this enmity. And we need to really understand very well what He is saying. Do you remember Luke chapter 2 verse 14? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. That verse says that Jesus came to accomplish peace among men. But in our passage, it is said that Jesus came to accomplish division. Now, this is why we must understand very well what Jesus is saying in our passage. Is he just contradicting himself? We must understand peace that Jesus has come to accomplish according to the Bible. It is not peace that this world understands. The peace that Jesus Christ has come to accomplish is our peace with God. And in order for that peace to be accomplished, The problem of our sins must be solved so that peace is accomplished only by the salvation that our Lord brings. It is peace that only Jesus can give us. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So peace, only in Christ. We are one only in Christ. I don't care what the world thinks that they're becoming one. It's not truly one. You will see when Jesus returns. They will show each other how they are enemies to one another. I just have to laugh. I love seeing kids among us. I guess it's more so as I grow older. And they're just so loving, lovable. So let me continue. In Jesus Christ, all men are divided into two groups. See, even in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, when I read you, on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Not peace among all men in the world, but peace among men with whom God is pleased. It's peace only among them. So in Jesus Christ, all men are divided into two, and there will be enmity between those two forever. That reality will be witnessed here on earth, but it will not be witnessed perfectly until Jesus comes back. And only forever division, like I said before, is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. The enmity between those two is not something that could be reconciled. Only way for that to happen is that those who do not believe, they have to believe in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's not reconciled forever. It's not something we could work on it and try to make peace with them. Because once Jesus comes and visibly consummate the whole redemptive history, heaven and hell will be completely separated. There will be a division. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It is not just that father hates his son, but also his son will hate the father. The hate is both ways. And like I said, even if you don't see that right now, you will. When everything is visibly consummated. The hate is both ways. This was told by God even from the Old Testament. We have already seen Genesis 3:15, but also Micah chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For son treats father contemptuously, and daughter rise up against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemies are men of his household. Men of his own household. All will be divided into two groups in Jesus Christ. And the peace among men will only in Christ who already have peace with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 16, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. In Malachi chapter 4, what the Messiah will accomplish is described in this way, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearers of the children to their fathers. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, all is new. Even the organization of the family is new. The world is passed away, and the things of this world are passed away. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 4, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Verse 4, the first thing have passed away. Apart from Jesus Christ, no unity. Even the family of this world is not united. Do you know how it is impossible for this world to accept this? You go out and start saying this kind of stuff, no one out there will like it. But it is the truth. In Jesus Christ, even the enemies become friends. Even with the one with who you have so many reasons to hate, because it is in Christ and because of Christ, you will love him or her forever in heaven. So you must love him or her even now. And because it is in Christ and because of Christ, even with the one with whom you have so many reasons to love in this world, there will be division between you and that person forever if that person do not trust Jesus Christ. I know again how utterly impossible for this world to accept this and hate this, but I must tell you this because it is the truth. Yeah, if my job is to pleasing men, why would I say this? I will just skip these verses. But I have to tell you the truth. And you need to start thinking in terms of the truth. Because it will happen exactly according to what it says in the Bible. Whether you deny it or reject it, really doesn't matter. But Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 30, Jesus said, I truly say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, among with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. Yeah, if we say like, oh, you will receive 100 times more fathers, mothers, but he has to include along with the persecutions that it will be. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, you and I are invited to participate in the perfect peace among the Trinity. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I come to the conclusion of our sermon. It's not really short, but I want you to pay real attention because for some of you, today's passage sounds unreasonable. The demand from our Lord Jesus Christ is just too much. Why division, even in our family? It sounds too much. But brothers and sisters, once you understand the gospel, it will not sound unreasonable. It's because you don't understand the gospel, it does. So let me preach to you the gospel. We must remember this peace with God and peace with one another in Christ. How did this accomplish? It was accomplished by Jesus being forsaken by His Father on the cross. Do you understand what I just said? Because Jesus was bearing our sins on the cross, there was a division between the Father and the Son when Jesus was dying on the cross. Do you understand? There was a division in the family of God. Father against Son and Son against Father. There was a division in the family of Trinity. Do you see it? The story of a man's enemies will be the members of his household is the story of Jesus Christ. It happened to him just to save you. Bearing our sins, Jesus became the enemy of the Father in our places. Division among the family members is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. It happened on the cross. Father against Son and Son against Father is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the gospel? All this is story of our Lord. We are called to participate in the life of Christ. Do you see it? Division between you and your family members, if God blesses you with it, it itself is gospel. Do you understand? It's not something you should complain about or feel God is unreasonably asking you to do something. It happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. To make us enjoy the eternal fellowship with God and with each other in Christ forever. To have God as our Father. To have Jesus as our brother. To make us one in Him. Jesus Christ experienced the division with His Father on the cross. And the reality of our participation in the life of Christ is witnessed in our lives here on earth as we experience the division among our families because of Jesus Christ. This is why we're so happy to be like Christ. It's So when that happens, when there's division in our family, it's not something we complain. See, if what Jesus has done, it doesn't move you, then there's something wrong with you as a Christian. What am I that he would go through that? And if he went through that, why am I complaining that I have to go through it? If our God, Almighty God, was willing to do that, why am I complaining when I have to do that? You know who God is? And that He will go through all that for you? But you don't want to? Go through the same thing in your life? I pray to God that the Holy Spirit who lives in you will move you. To make you realize how much God loves you. That what He would do for you. And only thing that He wants from you is that you be like Him. That you will love Him as much as He loves you. You will not like it if love that you have with someone is just one-sided. That you love that person so much, but that person doesn't love you back. You are like that. God is that way too. When He loves you certain amount, He wants that love to come back from you. That's not unreasonable because you want it too. You wanted that kind of love. Not just one-sided love. You want both sides. And that's exactly what God wants. Unless you don't want to love Him, then okay. But when you say you love Him, don't complain about these things. Because that's what love does. It will make you do things. That you would not normally do if you don't love that person. See how precious peace that we have with our God and with each other in Jesus Christ. We must enjoy this peace now and forever. And God is telling you that this is what it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. I could think, way before creation, God the Father and God the Son, they made a covenant. And it wasn't like me and you talking and, you know, they know each other, they know, and they were one. So it will not be the conversation we might have when we make covenant. But I have to describe in terms of human. And Father says to Son, when you go down and do this to save our people, there will be division between you and me. There will be division between Father and Son. Will you still do it? Obviously, Jesus said, yes, I will do it. That's why He came. And when He was dying for us on that cross, there was division between Father and the Son. And Jesus is doing the same thing to you. If you follow me, Jesus says, if you love me, these things will happen. Will you still follow me? What is your answer? What will be your answer? Brothers and sisters, Christianity is love. Love between the husband and the wife. And if you don't want to love him back, then maybe Christianity is not for you. But if you love him, then what? Brothers and sisters, by what he has done, the family of heaven has been accomplished. And forever and ever, that family, family of God, family of heaven, will never experience division in heaven. Division in this world means union in heaven. Remember how far did Jesus go to accomplish this eternal peace? He was willing to experience division with his Father. Why is it so unreasonable for us to experience division between us and our family member in this world? You know, what is this division in Trinity? I don't even understand this. What does it mean? You know, let's say in order for me to do something, that I have to experience division between my son and me, or my daughter. You put the same situation. You think of you have to experience that division between you and your son, or you and your daughter. And I'm trying to think, am I willing to do it? It's going to be so difficult. And yet my Lord was willing to do it for me. My God was willing to do it for me. You know how much this makes me happy, knowing how much God loves me, and to love me, how far he was willing to go. You know, this whole world can put me down. They could laugh at me, and they could just say all kinds of stupid things. But I will not be discouraged. I will not even, what do you call those things? Depressed. I will not even be depressed in this world because I know how much God loves me. And I don't need anything else. Oh, just because your family member forsook you, forsake you, and they go into depression for life. Ah, don't do that. I don't have to. And if it was because of Christ that they forsake me, then I will welcome it. in Jesus Christ, I'll do it. It's so focused love. Oh yeah, if you love like this someone, if you love this way in this world, oh, they're going to run away from you because this is too focused. Too crazy. But that's how much God loves you. Do not just think lightly how much God loves you. Jesus was willing to experience division with his Father. This is not some light love. Oh, this is serious. And our love for our God is also serious. Something that you and I probably were not willing to do, Jesus did it for us. So when we cannot do what he did for us, we feel sorry rather than feeling, oh God, you're so unreasonable. How can you ask me? This is too much. No, rather than that, we are on our knees and we beg for his mercy because we're so sorry that we cannot do it. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand how much God loves you. And again, I was thinking so much about this division among Trinity. I don't understand what that is. And I cannot explain it. But I believe. And I think I will think about this for many, many years to come. No, no, I will think about this forever. And I don't know if I will fully understand the extent of his love for me. But by grace, I could tell you, I believe. I believe. And once you believe, you don't need anything else. And I'm glad that, I don't know, I should say this or not, but even if your husband left you, or your wife left you, or your sons and daughters left you, or your mom and dad left you, it's okay. Because your Heavenly Father and your brother, Heavenly Brother, Jesus Christ, will never forsake you, never leave you. And that's what truly matters at the end. But I'm glad that, you know, that I don't see that kind of thing. Well, I kind of know a couple incidences, but even that happens, we're so blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Our ability to understand is just not adequate to understand your love for us. That what would make you willing to do what you have done? Because we know how difficult it is. It is impossible for us to do. And yet you did it for us. Let us really think about this, and by your help, let us understand at least a little bit more how big, how high, and how wide, and how deep your love for us. And let us live our lives in terms of expressing that love, even though it's so small at this moment. We pray that by your grace, that love that we have for you will increase, and that love will be witnessed more and more in our lives. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.